welcome everybody to our assembly together as God's people in this place to encourage each other and to give God our praise. This week has been a very, very hard week. I don't have time to run the laundry list of all of the things that have transpired this week that have directly impacted many of the family members here. Some of those have already been mentioned in prayer this morning. But I thought rather than just going through all of that, I want to ask you to do something right now. I want us to take a moment, and I want us to close our eyes and bow our heads, and I want you to think of something that you know that has particularly been challenging for you this week, or a burden that you know others are dealing with right now. And I want you to focus on that for just a moment, and then we're going to collectively give those burdens to God in prayer. So let's take just a moment and spend a minute doing that. Our Lord, you are the God who saves. Day and night we cry out to you, and our prayers come before you. Turn your ear to hear our cries. This week, Father, it has come to my attention that there are more troubles that have overwhelmed people in this congregation than we have time to enumerate. But Father, we have brought those troubles to the forefront of our minds this morning. We know that you are in our midst, and you have heard all of these cries. We cast these cares and these worries to you because we know that you care for us. Father, receive these worries, receive these troubles, receive these cares, and help us to lay them and leave them at your feet. Because we know who you are, we will sing of your great love forever. Our mouths will make known your faithfulness through all the generations. Your love stands forever. You have established your faithfulness in the heavens before us. You have made your covenant with us by your chosen one, Jesus Christ. You have established this covenant before your throne for all generations. And so we will sing of your wonders. We will sing of your love, we will praise you for your faithfulness, and we will know, and we do know, that you make all things right. That even in the midst of darkness, your light shines forth and scatters it. We will sing of your righteousness, of your justice, of your love and your faithfulness. In the unforeseen places, in the uncertain places of life, help us, Father, to walk in the light of your presence and to celebrate all that is good in you and to put our hope and our trust in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. So I have the opportunity this week that has been given to me by the shepherds of this church to go on a two-week sabbatical starting tomorrow. And for 2 weeks, I'm not going to be answering the phone. I'm not going to be answering emails. I'm going to be spending time in prayer, in study, in reflection, in some solitude. asking the Lord to fill my cup. And so I ask you to pray for that. I ask you to ask God to fill my spirit this week and to fill me with His presence and to bring about conviction where I need it, refinement where I need it, encouragement where I need it, that I might be better equipped and filled with His Spirit to be able to be involved in this work of ministry. And so I ask you to do that. If you have a ministry need this week, please continue to feel free to contact the church office. One of the shepherds or one of the other ministers will be happy to help you this week if you have a need. I really appreciate so much Jim this morning, one of our shepherds, issuing a challenge to the men of this church. I just love it. I crave men that I look up to as my spiritual guides to raise the bar for me, to give me a challenge. And I so appreciate the challenge that was issued to the men of this church to be men, to be fathers, and to lead the way, because that's what God has entrusted for us to be and to do. And so, following on the heels of the challenge that Jim issued to us, I want to offer some instruction and some encouragement and some challenge from Scripture this morning from a single verse. And if you want to be turning there, I would encourage you to look once again with fresh eyes at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. A single verse we're going to explore this morning, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and we'll look at that in just one moment. But let me set the stage this way. It seems like that our culture today, particularly the one that we're immersed in here in America, is becoming increasingly uncivil. The vitriol and the backbiting and the attacks that seem to be happening all around us in our culture seem to just be escalating. And it makes me ask the question, why are so many people so angry? There's a lot of different answers to that question. But I think one possible answer is that there are a lot of people in our culture today that feel abandoned. Do you realize that one in four children in America today are growing up in a home without a father? One in four. Millions more in our culture today have dads that are physically present in the home but are emotionally and spiritually absent. Now, on a more positive note, the dads that are present, that are engaged emotionally and spiritually with their families, there's some good news. Pew Research recently reported that dads are much more involved in child care today, much more so than they were 50 years ago. In fact, in 2016, fathers reported, according to Pew Research, that they are spending an average of 8 hours a week on child care. That is triple the amount of time spent by dads in 1965. One of the greatest needs to steer the direction of our culture today is the presence of engaged fathers who are active in the character formation of their children. Fathers make a difference. Fathers matter. So today we're going to look at this short verse of Scripture that gives me such a powerful bit of instruction, such a challenge, such a conviction. And I think it gives that to all us dads this morning from Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It just simply says this: Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's one sentence, but there is so much packed right in these words. And I just want to spend a moment trying to open some of that up for us today. The scripture here begins by saying that fathers must avoid exasperating their children. The word to exasperate carries with it the ideas of anger and frustration. Now, I think it is important to note at the outset that when it comes to parenting and being a father who is actively involved in the spiritual training and education of your children and character formation, anger in parenting for moms and dads is unavoidable. This verse is not saying that fathers should never make their children angry. Because if you love somebody and you're trying to tell them things that they need to do to better themselves or to change their behavior or steer a different direction, they're not going to always want to hear that. And it's going to sometimes elicit anger. Fathers should not be cowards or pushovers or disengaged or passive when it comes to their children. We as fathers, guys, must be willing to shape and direct and be proactive in trying to steer and direct the lives of our children. And sometimes that's going to make them angry. It's unavoidable. But what is avoidable is exasperating our children. The idea here has the concept of a settled anger. That is to say, the scripture is saying, fathers, avoid creating an environment or a disposition in your children where they have this residual, low-grade resentment that just is always present. This disposition of raising angry children. So how do we as fathers avoid that? How do we avoid raising children who have a disposition of frustration and resentment? How do we avoid raising angry children? That's what this verse is telling us. Because notice it says, don't exasperate your children, but instead do this. So it's giving us a game plan, guys. It's giving us some instruction here of how to avoid raising angry children. And it says, here's what you do. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. To prevent raising angry children, it's telling us to hold in balance several ideas with this short phrase. Train them up, bring them up, raise them in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So let's unpack that there, because there's a lot. First of all, the training and instruction. That's the way the NIV gives it. Some of the older translations, like the King James that I cut my teeth on and grew up memorizing, says, you know, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's not particularly helpful. Because what is that talking about? What does that mean? I'm not sure the NIV helps us much either by saying training and instruction. But you see here that the translations are struggling to give us English words that are communicating what the Holy Spirit is saying here. Anytime that you have a divergence in translations, it's because the translators are struggling to try to communicate the idea. First of all, to use the word of the NIV, the training, or the King James, the nurture. The idea here has to do with with discipline and enforcing boundaries. So the idea of instruction has to do with counseling and dialoguing. So on the one hand, you've got the training, which is the discipline. And on the other hand, you've got the instruction, which involves counseling or dialoguing or listening to and trying to persuade. We might put it in this language today, coaching. You're trying to provide coaching and mentoring and training. But then at the same time, you're trying to provide this discipline. So here's what it boils down to. If you want to, and I need to hear this as much as any guy in this room, if I want to avoid exasperating my children, I have to balance truth and love always. I have to balance discipline and coaching of my children. Because if I'm too heavy on the discipline with too many rules and regulations all the time, I will exasperate my kids because I'm not treating them like they're human. I'm treating them like they're dogs. Do this, don't do this. Always barking orders. And so if I'm heavy on the discipline, I can exasperate them because I'm not treating them with respect as free-thinking human beings. But on the flip side, if all I ever do as a parent is just try to reason with my kids and dialogue and have conversations with my kids, I'll also exasperate them because I forget that they're children and they're not adults. And they don't always have the maturity to know the right and safe thing to do. And as a parent, my job is to provide some disciplining boundaries that help them along the way. So notice the balance here of training and instruction, of the coaching and the discipline that must both be held in equal priority. But then notice also, bring them up. Bring them up in the training and instruction. Bring them up. Notice this, the older translations would say raise them up. The idea of raising up, I mean, think about that. It's the idea of you're trying to elevate. You're trying to help children realize their potential and become responsible adults. But there's a balance there between helping them to learn their independence while they are dependent upon you, but not becoming too over-dependent so that they lose their independence as well. So the balance of dependence and independence. We must prevent, I've got to work hard, all of us fathers, we've got to work hard on not keeping our children too dependent upon us or by pushing them into independence too soon. The purpose of parenting is to prepare our children to one day no longer need us in the way that they need us early on. And so we must not hold them too tightly so that they never develop their own independence. We must not be helicopter parents who are always smothering them with too much direction and guidance so that they cannot learn to be their own selves. But that's a gradual process. Notice the idea of raising. It's gradual. You provide this guidance. You provide the guidance needed as they lean upon you and depend upon you while slowly releasing and helping them to learn to walk on their own, to make mistakes, to return to you for advice. But in order to do that, trust must be built for children to be raised this way. The balance of dependence and independence, bring them up in the training and instruction, the last phrase, in the Lord. This demonstrates a balance between helping our children to develop a faith that is their own in the Lord while showing them our own faith in the Lord. This scripture is telling us to raise our children in the training and the instruction, in the discipline and in the dialogue of learning to depend on us and then being released to be their own people, their own adult selves, but all the while in the Lord. Many of us have been greatly impacted, more than we know, by certain cultural frameworks that are popularly communicated to us in the world in which we live. And many modern people will tell you, you should not impose your beliefs on your children. That you just ought to let them develop their own beliefs. Don't tell them what to believe. Don't impose your beliefs on them. Let them develop their own. But if you give your children no instruction, it will exasperate them. In fact, in some ways, it might be said that to give your children some bad spiritual instruction would be less frustrating to our children than giving them no spiritual instruction at all. Because children crave the boundaries and the directions. They're emerging into self-awareness and trying to navigate life, and they need the help of the boundaries that are given, the instruction that is given. It is frustrating to a child to hear their parents say, "I'm not going to tell you what to believe. If you don't make a point as a father to point your child to the Lord," you may not do it perfectly, like Jim mentioned this morning. None of us are going to do it perfectly. But if you don't at least make the attempt as best you can to point your children to the Lord, you have abdicated your role as a father. You have not fulfilled your God-given purpose if you don't bring them up in the Lord and point them to the Lord. You can't make your children have your faith, but you can be transparent in your life and strong in your beliefs in such a way that you are a witness to your children so that they see the Lord in you. One of the best ways to bring our children in the Lord is to let our children see the Lord in us. Amen. So, do you see the balance here? How do we avoid raising angry children that will contribute to this culture of anger that we see in our world today? How can we stem the tide? How can we change the direction and not raise the next generation to be angry? How do we not exasperate our children? By balancing, bringing up our children in the training and the instruction of the Lord, by balancing discipline and dialogue, dependence and independence, helping them to develop their own faith while showing them our faith in the Lord. So how can we do this? Dads, how can you and I, in our effort to be fathers, how can we do this? The only way is by the gospel. And let me explain why. The gospel says that because of Jesus, He has done what we could not do. Because of Jesus, we know the truth that we are sinful and we are frail and we have made lots of mistakes. But at the same time, we have been made right with God because of Jesus. And so that means that while we may be unworthy, we are fully accepted before God. So my confidence doesn't come in how good a dad that I am. My confidence comes in how good a dad I have in our Heavenly Father. That's where my hope is. That's where my confidence is. That's where my self-esteem as a father comes from, is not in my performance as a dad, but in my faith in my Heavenly Dad. That's where my confidence comes, is in the gospel. So here's how that really boils down and applies in a very real and relevant way. Why is it that sometimes we as fathers, and mothers too, but in particular I have in mind fathers, why is it that we might be tempted to under-discipline our children? Maybe it's because we want their approval. We want our kids to like us. We don't want to push them away, and so we under-discipline. We see the gospel frees you and me from having the need to seek approval from our children, because we have already been approved by the Father because of what Jesus has done. And therefore, the gospel frees me to put my need for approval. That has been met in Jesus. And so since that has been met, I am free to discipline my children sufficiently. Some of us may feel like at times we over-discipline our children. And maybe the reason we do that is because we just can't bring ourselves to bear that our children will be failures or be imperfect. And so we put too much discipline on them, to try to direct, and we overly smother them with that discipline and direction because we want them to be right and we want them to be good and we want them to turn out the way we want them to turn out. And so we really white-knuckle down on the discipline. But you see, the gospel frees us, guys, from the feeling that our parenting must be just right. We're not saved by how good we are. We're saved by how good Jesus has been. And so it frees us to fully love our children even when they're not perfect. Some of us as parents might feel the need to keep our children always dependent upon us because we live vicariously through them. And we feel like we need our children to always have to have us and need us and look to us. But whenever we realize what the gospel has done, we don't try to get things from our children that we could only get through Christ. Some of us as parents might try to push our children away too soon because we just can't handle it. We can't handle all the demands of what children require, and therefore we just long for the day whenever we don't have to do this anymore, and we try to push them into independence way too soon because we think, well, I got enough of my own problems. I can't deal with their problems too, and so we try to release before they're ready for it. But you see, the gospel leads us to not be so selfish in our lives because we look at what Jesus gave for us and how he was willing to pour himself into us. Therefore, the gospel frees us to pour into our kids. So the gospel alone gives us what we need. It gives us the balance of truth and love, of dependence and independence, and it gives us the ability to be transparent in our own walk with the Lord so that we actually have some influence in a winsome and attractive way to point our kids to the Lord that we love, so that they might be drawn to love him too. With the gospel, fathers, you have everything you need to do everything that you need to do. To be able to not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. God bless you in your efforts to do that. This morning, though, I'll tell you guys, it is just absolutely a fact. In fact, I could cite statistics this morning to you over and again that demonstrate that the greatest influence in children's lives regarding whether or not children develop a faith of their own is whether they see a genuine, authentic faith in their father or not. It is the single greatest factor. And so this morning, if you realize, hey, I've got this responsibility and I need to get real with Jesus and I need to get real in my relationship with him, I need to do it because I need to have that with him. But also, an added benefit is that that's going to help my kids be what God wants them to be by me being the example and setting the example of putting the Lord first. And maybe you know you hadn't been doing that. Well, I'm going to say today on Father's Day is a great day to, in your own mind and in prayer before the Lord, to repent where you need to repent and change where you need to change and devote yourself to putting the Lord really first in your life. Maybe you've not even started down that pathway and you know you need to commit to the Lord. You need to surrender to Jesus Christ. Maybe today is the day you need to be born again of water and the Spirit in baptism. If that's the step you need to take, this would be a great day to take that step. If there's anything we can do to help you, we want to. The church is a family. We're all on equal playing field because we all need the Lord. And so this morning, if there's some way we can help you, we want to. Just make your need known as we all stand together and sing.